From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
Imagine ABC made a sitcom about your life. What do you think you'd be doing right before it premiered? Slamming the network for watering down your story? Probably not. But that's what Chef Eddie Wong was doing right before the debut of Fresh Off the Boat. It's a new show based on his memoir, and it's the first network sitcom featuring Asian American characters in 20 years. Here's a clip.
Eddie, why are you eating so much?
I'm hungry.
Didn't you eat your lunch today?
Yeah, but I'm still hungry.
Okay. How you like the xiaolongbao I pack you?
It was really good.
Liar. I did not pack xiaolongbao!
Okay. Fine. I threw my lunch away.
Come on, Eddie, that's wasteful, man.
This is good food I make you. You love my food.
I need white people lunch.
Eddie Wong's book is a funny, blunt, sometimes raunchy look at his growing up as a hip-hop-obsessed outcast, the son of Taiwanese immigrants in a mostly white neighborhood in Orlando. But he felt that the TV show replaced a lot of his story with milquetoast plots and Asian stereotypes. He talked to NPR's Rachel Martin on Weekend Edition Sunday about visiting the writer's room.
They had a joke in the script. They were trying to portray the Asian work ethic, telling young Eddie, you know, your grandfather worked so hard, he used to castrate hogs with a stick. And I was like, wait a second. Who came up with the idea that my grandfather castrates hogs with a stick? And they're like, it's funny, it's like Asian, like you guys like slaughter pigs and it's savage. And I was like, this is yellow peril. I was like, my grandfather sold buns on the street. And my guabao that I made in New York in 2009 is derivative of that. And there is a link between our three generations. And I was like, if you need to talk about him working hard, talk about him selling buns on the street with his entire family on a blanket. It's heartbreaking to sit in sometimes and see what people's first instincts and intuitions of you are.
But despite all Wong's frustrations with the process, he ended up pretty proud of the final product. He described the first time he saw an ad for the show on TV during the Ohio State-Michigan football game.
You know, when I saw that, I was like, for all I've said about never having a chance and never fitting in and everything, it was worth it. It was worth it because it was enough of who we really were. And I still want to push more, and I will never forget like where I want us to get. But as a milestone, as a kind of like the quarter mile mark, I was like, this is crazy. And it gave me hope and promise for how much further we can go.
This week on The Sporkful, we are going to go a lot further. We're celebrating Lunar New Year with some Asian Americans who are definitely not stock characters. I'll sit down with the members of Notorious MSG, a satirical hip-hop metal band from Chinatown. These guys go by the names Hong Kong Fever, Down Low Main, and the Hunan Bomb. And they crush stereotypes with the sheer force of their beats. Their music is hilarious, but the emotion underneath it is serious. They'll explain how working in Chinese restaurants helped inspire them to start the band.
And we look around us and we see our brothers and sisters stuck in the kitchens, you know, no opportunity to get out, you know, and that's their life. So our music was going to be it's a way to get out our feelings of, you know, being kind of stuck between two cultures.
Plus, I'll talk to Clarissa Wei, a young food writer in L.A. Her parents think her job is just a phase, but when you hear how passionate she is, I think you'll agree she's not going to medical school.
You have one of the richest civilizations in all of history, and you're, you know, obsessed with the Western culture. Why don't you embrace the Asian culture? Because there's so much to it. And I don't think a lot of people have been stepping up to the plate and really pushing that forward.
And throughout this show, I will eat an amazing dessert soup called Tang Yuan, a big pile of chicken feet, and of course, dumplings. Many, many dumplings. We're hot and spicy with a little extra Korean girl. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. So, as I said, the three guys who form Notorious MSG aren't stock characters. But they do perform as characters. They send up Asian stereotypes with a sort of a hip-hop swagger. We met at Num Wah Tea House in New York's Chinatown, and these guys walked in the door in full regalia. And for them, that means leather jackets, sunglasses, even at night, and big black-haired wigs. Frontman Hong Kong Fever was born in Hong Kong. Down Low Main, or D-Lo, as we call him, he's from Taiwan. And the Hunan Bomb is actually from South Korea. All three of them came to the U.S. with their parents when they were in grade school, and now they're all around 30. We started off talking about their childhood memories of Lunar New Year in Chinatown.
The Chinese New Year celebration was big. Lots of firework, lots of noise, very crowded. It's just on a grander scale. The lion dance all over the place. You're eating in a restaurant, the lion dance come through. So
I thought it was a dragon.
No, it's a lion.
Everybody think that.
It's a common.
It's because they make it a long ass lion. It's a very long lion.
Yes, not the kind you find in nature.
Maybe we. Yeah.
So should we order up some food here?
Sure. Yes, I put a couple items. I don't know.
Do you guys like chicken feet?
I don't like it mainly because you can't put it in my fitness pal. They don't have the pre-made. I can't count the calories that way. So it's I'm confused. I don't know how many calories it is. So yeah.
I don't like the texture. It's kind of rubber.
Right.
It's like a rubber, you know.
I've honestly never had chicken feet.
Slimy, you know. That's
I feel like we should get it. I want to experience
maybe,
it.
The
main
thing
is there's not a lot of meat on there. And you got to be comfortable spitting out the little bones, the knuckles.
Right. It's mostly mostly feet is what you're telling me.
It's basically feet.
Yeah. You guys all grew up in Chinatown?
We spent a lot of time in Chinatown. Lower East Side, Chinatown. I mean, spent some time in Queens also. So move around a bit throughout the boroughs.
What kind of music did you guys grow up listening to?
You know, more the hardcore groups, you know, the ones that really, took to the streets, like NKOTB, you know, New Kids on the Block, you
right.
know. They really terrorized the neighborhood when they came out, you know.
Kind of like
they're hanging tough.
Kind of like you guys probably did back in the day.
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you guys all work in Chinese restaurants?
We did. We work in Chinese whatever place would take us. You know, Chinese restaurant. I work in a pizza place. Made the sushi.
It's not the Nobu kind of sushi. It's more like the
teriyaki boy kind of thing.
If even.
So, if you're Chinese and you're making sushi, do you have to? Because I would suspect that when Japanese people come for the sushi, they can tell that you're Chinese.
Yes, you bring up an interesting observation, which. I think we all have nobody want to mention it. You know, when you go into a sushi place and you see the Chinatown brothers behind the counter, you question the quality, at least for me. I know I'm jumping to
conclusions. Being Chinese, it's very easy for me to tell, okay, is this restaurant run by Korean people, Chinese or Japanese? And even me, I would say I do make some assumption about the quality of the food sometime.
Don't get me wrong, our brothers and sisters, we can throw down when it comes to the Chinese food, but, you know, it's very hard to find a sushi restaurant with the Chinese brothers rocking that.
What inspired you to start Notorious MSG?
We didn't see a lot of Asian faces on TV, in music, in media, and it was important for us because we all had an interest in music to try to do something on our own, to get out the voice for ourselves and for our people, but also to do it in a style that is what we feel, we hope, is unique in a way, trying to blend our experience and our culture in the kind of music we do. You know, so we're trying to present a unique point of view and a unique style there.
Also, with the media landscape changing like it is and seeing more diversity in the media with Asian Americans, you know, I think it's opening up the eyes of people where they realize that, hey, you can do this too. You know, and that's part of why we started, because we want to feel like other people can do it. You know, if we can do it, other people can do it.
There is, and I mean, a lot of the music that you borrow from is, some of it is more hip-hop feel, some of it's more metal feel. But all that kind of music has a certain amount of anger running under it. Is there part of your experience here that makes you feel angry?
Just having to classify it as angry just makes me a little mad, to be honest with you, you know. But it does come from a place of rage for us, you know, when it started, you know, it was a different social landscape for Asian American when we started back in 2002. People get caught up in having to be, what's the best way to portray Asian Americans? But I think ultimately the goal is to not have any particular way and have every way being portrayed as seen as valid.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a group of over a billion people, there's going to be some diversity.
Right, right.
Not everyone's going to be exactly the same.
Exactly, you know.
Like, look at you three guys. You all have different sunglasses.
Yes, you know, we
very
mix
different.
It up.
Very,
yes, yes.
Let's eat a little food.
Okay, you should try some of these.
Yeah, oh, glutinous rice. Oh, there's meat in there. You didn't tell me about that. Oh, man.
It's all wrapped up.
Mm. Come on, get in here, Hong Kong Fever. I'm going to go around here from each of you guys. Describe to me your favorite kind of dumpling.
There's so many factors to consider. Okay, the skin, then you got the filling. Is it very savory, maybe a little sweet? Is it a little bland?
Right.
You know, and then are you going to fry it or boil it or steam it?
Yeah.
And if you fry it, do you deep fry or pan fry?
Well, also what is important is the ratio of the filling to the skin. So it has to be thin skin, but you have to have enough filling. Some people get a little cheap when it comes to the filling, you know.
For me, you definitely want a thinner skin.
Right.
You want to be able to taste the skin, but you don't want it. It shouldn't be doughy. I'm not into the doughy kind.
I'm with you on that. Can I propose a test here?
Sure.
I think that one way to tell a good dumpling is that you should be able to see the color of the filling through the dumpling skin.
I think that is.
If it's so thick that you can't see through it, it's too thick.
I would agree with that. You know, it should be translucent.
Yes, which these are. And they have some nice big pieces of shrimp in there, too, that is very tooth-sinkable. Okay. I'm going in for the chicken feed. Do you have any tips here on how to eat this?
So here's the remnants of the one I already ate. You could see there's a lot of small bone in here.
But you left very little, though.
Yes, you got to get in there.
So you eat most of the bones.
No, you don't eat the bones.
It's just cartilage.
It's a lot of cartilage. So you can kind of bite off the toes, I guess they are, the talons. And you'll find there's a lot of small knuckle bones, like the finger bones.
I'm going in. I like it. I mean, I'm a skin guy. I love chicken skin. I had a family barbecue last summer. I served grilled chicken thighs. All the people in my family peeled off the skin and left it on their plate. I went around, took every person's piece of chicken skin and put it back on the grill till it turns crispy, and then just sat there having a party by myself. So I think this is delicious.
Nice.
You know, this part, so it's okay to spit it out?
You know, if you want to impress your date, you could, you know, spit it into your hand, just kind of put it under your seat.
That's how you show a lady you're classy?
Yeah, that's how you do, you know. That's how some people do it.
I think that does it for the chicken feet. I polished those off pretty well. What did you guys think of my chicken feet eating technique?
Pretty impressive. I think, you know, normally I just put the thing in my mouth and spit out the bones, but you really dug in there with your fingers.
What I found as I went through the pile is if you do good prep work with your hands, you can remove the biggest bones, and then you can just shove the whole thing in your mouth and eat all the small crunchy bits.
Yes, well, if you want to get your hands dirty and eat like a Cro-Magnon, it's fine.
You already told. You said that was okay. You said that was permissible.
You licked your lips a lot and made these funny moaning noises, which is it's a little weird. You know,
maybe too much prep work with your hands and the bones. Yeah.
But maybe this is sometimes it takes an outsider to show the way for a new and better technique. Maybe chicken feet should be taken apart with your hands first.
I think it's your new favorite dish.
That's Hong Kong Fever, Down Lo Maine, and the Hunan Bomb. Together they are notorious MSG mother suckers. You can find links to purchase their songs, as well as their amazing music videos. Oh, their music videos. All that at notoriousmsg.com. Coming up, I tour the best Chinese restaurants in LA's San Gabriel Valley with food writer Clarissa Wei. I was born in the year of the snake. She was born in the year of the sheep. Find out what that means. Plus, I'll experience dessert soup, and she'll explain why it's okay to get duck in your hair. Stick around.
mother sucker. In the town, that's the mother to the hustler.
Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Quick bit of exciting news. The Sporkful is going to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. Woohoo! We'll be doing a taping of The Sporkful live on stage Saturday, March 14th at the Driscoll Hotel. Stay tuned for details. I'll also be signing copies of my book, Eat More Better, at the Austin Convention Center, where all the book signings happen. That'll also be on Saturday the 14th. That's going to be at 4:40 p.m. So, if you'll be at South by, I hope to see you there. Now, before we get back into our Lunar New Year show, a quick note here. I gotta say, it was a real struggle for us to figure out what approach this episode should take. I mean, let's face it, when this many people celebrate a holiday, there's gonna be a lot to say about it. So there's no way we could do justice to all the Asian cultures and cuisines in just one show. So we're gonna do another Lunar New Year show next year, and we may do a separate dumpling show even sooner. So if you have ideas or suggestions about a food or a custom or a person, especially a person, that you think should be included, drop me a line at dan@sporkful.com. All right, let's get back into it. Now, thanks to gentrification, the greatest concentration of authentic Chinese food in L.A. is no longer in L.A. It's actually 25 miles east of downtown in the San Gabriel Valley. So when I was out there for my book tour, I was super psyched to have a chance to check out the area with Clarissa Wei. Clarissa's only 23, but she's already made a big name for herself with her passionate, thoughtful food writing and an appearance on Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern on the Travel Channel. And as I learned, when you put a whole duck in front of her, she's not afraid to get messy. Let's talk Chinese New Year for you personally first, your family. What are the things you look forward to eating the most?
In terms of food, it's the Tang Yuan, which is usually eaten on the 15th day of the festival. Chinese New Year's is a 15-day festival. And Tang Yuan is a sweet glutinous rice ball stuffed with sesame seeds or peanut sauce. And it's served in a plain broth. Sometimes they'll add a little dash of alcohol for flavor. So I love that. And dumplings is something that we do. We'll make our own dumplings, and it's just this whole party that the family gets together for.
And I know that a lot of the foods around Chinese New Year are meant to be auspicious and help to encourage a good New Year. Tell me about some of the symbolism and the stories behind some of the traditional foods around Chinese New Year.
Yeah, so with Chinese dishes, there's a lot of meaning in terms of what the dish sounds like. So, for example, shrimp, in Chinese, it's xia, and in Cantonese, it's ha, and that sounds like someone laughing. So, therefore, laughter is, you know, something positive and something that you want, so people will order shrimp. Noodles are very long, so they symbolize longevity. In terms of meat, people like to have whole animals, so a whole duck is very common, and that's considered, you know, it symbolizes unity because you want that in a family. Rice cake in Chinese, it's nian gao, and there's a saying that says nian nian gao sen, which means increasing prosperity and fortune throughout the year. So it all has to do with the saying and kind of what the meaning is, and also the shape too. Tang yuan is round, and that also symbolizes wholeness. The dumpling is shaped like an ingot, which is what the Chinese currency was, and it's kind of like gold. So the more dumplings you eat, the more gold you will have in your life.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds like a dare.
Yeah, they should have a dumpling eating contest.
I know, seriously, yeah. And then they should track the financial success of those people over
yeah.
time.
Just to see if
I'll be the richest
legends
guy
are.
In China, I swear. All right, we're ready to order.
可以一个 the whole duck, 然后那个 crispy seafood noodles, 然后那个 salt and pepper shrimp. 谢谢.
All right, the whole duck just arrived.
Huh?
Do you eat the head?
No.
It's for decoration.
I mean, you can gnaw on it if you want.
I mean, I might eat some of that skin.
Yeah, the skin is amazing.
The skin is so good. I'm going to apologize in advance, Clarissa. I'm not great with the chopsticks.
Oh, do you want forks?
No, let's give it a shot. I'm decent. Okay. I'm decent, but not great. I'm definitely a white guy when it comes to my chopsticks.
Apparently, I don't hold it the correct way either, and I don't know how to hold it the correct way. There's a proper way to hold chopsticks.
Interesting. So you're making me feel better.
Well, I like people make fun of me when I go back to China and Taiwan because I can't hold it the right way.
Right.
So, okay. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you. I already got a stain on my shirt.
It's okay. There's okay. No like etiquette really in Chinese eating.
Oh.
Oh, jeez.
Oh man.
Down there.
So you pick it up with chopsticks. You put the whole thing in your mouth. What's your strategy for eating the duck and dealing with the bone?
I think my biggest tip is to not be afraid to get dirty. Just get in there. Use your hands. Right. Food will get on your mouth and in your hair. But
I want to eat more, but I feel like I should save myself.
Yeah.
All right, Clarissa, we've moved on. We're now at Emperor Noodles. Tell me about this place.
So Emperor Noodles, they specialize in Shanghainese cuisine, but I brought you here because they have tang yuan, which is a glutinous rice ball, which is traditionally eaten at the 15th day of the New Year celebration.
Wait, this thing, there's something that's translated in English as Old Shanghai Osmanthus Fermented Glutinous Rice Ball.
Yeah, that's what we're getting. So,
what's osmanthus?
That's the, it's like a flour. I think it's a flour. It's kind of yellowish or orangish, and it's sprinkled on top. It's an,
interesting.
You know, I don't know exactly what it is, but you can buy it in packs in the Chinese supermarket, and it's typically cooked with the rice balls.
Okay. What do your parents think of your career choice as a food writer covering Chinese food?
They don't really acknowledge it. They know that I do it because, like, the Chinese newspaper around here did an article on me a while back, and they're like, oh, like, now I know what you do. But it's not really a career that's smiled upon within the Chinese culture, so they don't really acknowledge it.
It's interesting. I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, it's maybe not a typical career path, especially in the Chinese community. But at the same time, like, you're doing a cool thing to, like, bring awareness to Chinese culture, which I would think is cool.
Yeah. So I think my parents are thrilled that I have a much more higher interest in the Chinese language and culture. And when I have questions, I'll ask them. And I am really passionate about teaching people a lot more about Chinese culture, because I think a lot of people will make these assumptions, or they'll approach Chinese food from an outsider's perspective and be like, oh, this is so exotic and weird, but it's like this has been part of, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. There are people in America who are both Chinese and American who can, like myself, teach people about these traditions and cultures.
So do you say that to your parents? Do you say, like, this is what I'm all about? Isn't this great?
My Chinese, I speak in Chinglish, and that means, like, Chinese English.
Right.
So, believe it or not, I have a hard time communicating with them on topics as abstract as that. But I think they get the gist. They subscribe to my newsletter, so I feel like they might, like, plug that into Google Translate and figure that out.
I'm really digging this stuff.
In Chinese, it's called zhou liang tang yuan. And zhou liang is these little white flakes, and these are fermented rice. And if you smell it, you'll kind of get that, like, alcohol flavor. And it's really to, like, help warm you up.
Oh, yeah, it smells a little almost like raw dough.
Yeah,
like a little, like, yeasty.
Yeah, so it's like a rice wine, but it's not alcoholic because all of that's been cooked out, so kids can eat this. And then the little yellow stuff is the osmanthus flour, which is just kind of put on there.
And then it's got these white balls that are almost like little, they're the size and shape of like little pearl onions.
Mm-hmm.
What
so
are those?
This is the tang yuan. It's a rice ball, and inside, I believe it's sesame. It's black sesame.
It's like a dessert soup.
Yeah.
The rice balls are sort of like, they sort of have the texture of very soft, tender mochi.
Yeah. It's very similar to mochi.
I feel like dessert soup is just a completely underexplored concept in cuisine throughout the world.
Yes.
All right. Well, I got to say, the first stop was really good, Clarissa. But these are things I've never had before. This is really exciting. All right. We're still going on to dumplings, right? I need to have an auspicious
yes.
New Year.
Last one is dumplings.
The hope of the next year of my life is riding on my ability to not be totally full when we leave this restaurant.
Yeah, because the more dumplings you eat means the more rich you'll be. So you have to eat a lot.
All right, but before we leave here, maybe just one more bite.
Yeah.
All right, Clarissa, we're at our third and final stop. Where are we now?
It's called Hui Tou Xiang Noodle Sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, so here they specialize in the pan-fried dumplings and the regular dumplings.
Let's take a minute and talk about the placemats at this restaurant. I took one look at these, and these were the exact placemats that they had at every Chinese restaurant in New Jersey when I was growing up.
Yeah, I usually see these in American Chinese restaurants, so it's kind of funny that it's here, because this is not an American Chinese restaurant.
Right. It's the Chinese zodiac. They have all the different animals, and they list the years. Mm-hmm. Birth years that correspond to the different ones and what it means, what those characteristics are. I'm 1977, so I'm the year of the snake.
Oh.
Wise and intense with a tendency towards physical beauty. Well, they got my number. Vain and high-tempered.
Oh.
Okay, all right. I mean, I can make a half-hearted argument against that. What are you?
I'm the sheep, 91. Elegant and creative. You're timid and prefer anonymity.
Do you feel like that's a strike against a place if they're using this sort of
person
Chinese restaurant placemat?
I think Chinese restaurants don't make sense a lot of the time, so you just kind of roll with it.
Right.
But it's cool because it's 2015 and it's my year because I'm the sheep.
Does something special happen? Do you get a cake or more money in a red envelope or something?
It's like that year will have a special prediction based on what animal it is. So I'm not exactly sure what will happen in my year, but...
Well, let's eat a lot of dumplings just to be safe.
Yeah.
Clarissa Wei is a food writer based in L.A. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Dear Clarissa. For her writing and info on her L.A. food tours, check out clarissawei.com. That's Wei, W-E-I. And to bring things full circle, Clarissa wrote a piece recently about how moved she was by the first episode of Eddie Wong's show Fresh Off the Boat. She writes, I relate to it far more than any other television show I have ever seen in my life. It normalizes the Asian American and second generation minority experience on network television. It makes us feel less alone. It helps us appreciate the quirks of our upbringing. It helps the rest of society understand why we are the way we are. And, perhaps most importantly, it helps us appreciate our not-so-crazy parents. Let's go out with a little more Notorious MSG. This is Old Shanghai. Check out Sporkful.com to see photos of me with Notorious MSG, as well as pics of a lot of the foods I ate in my travels. Special thanks to our friends at NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday with Rachel Martin for sharing the clips of Eddie Wong. Rachel did a superb interview with Eddie. We'll link to the whole thing at Sporkful.com. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani. Our web writers are Talia Ralph and Alight Trong. Special thanks to Chris Bannon. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better. And Happy New Year!
Old day, old Shanghai, my dear boy.